We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What happens when you put a career-focused woman with two kids trying to balance home and work life in a room with a microphone? Lots of laughter, tears, and great advice. Welcome to Two Kids and a Career. For the first time ever on this podcast, I have a roundtable of very powerful women. I have Jen Singleton. I have Alicia Underwood. I have Becky Larson, all with Socially Jen & Co. Hi, ladies.
Hi.
This is going to be so fun. I'm so excited. So I wanted to have you all on. I know Jen from the radio business. We worked together on some event stuff, and then you ended up starting your own company, Socially Jen & Co., which we're going to talk about. And then I found out that you had all women working for you, and you're all moms. And I was thinking, well, this is a great episode.
Yeah.
Can you come in? And you said, yes, we would be so happy to. So let me back up a little bit and let's talk about Socially Jen & Co. What is it? How did it get formed?
So about 8 years ago, Becky interned for me, and then it started snowballing. We were working out of my house in different coffee shops, and then I met Alicia 4 years ago, and she came aboard, and she's my business partner. And then first it was Socially Jen, and then Socially Jen & Co. now, and we do all digital marketing.
All digital marketing, which is a big thing. And we're going to talk about that. But first, I want to talk about each of you and your families. Jen, let's start with you. Mom to Eloise. And how old is she?
2.5.
2.5. And I don't know about you, but mine's almost 3. And whoo, we've got some emotions in the house.
Oh, my God. It's crazy.
Isn't it?
It's crazy town. Like, it's drama, drama.
And I hear that it's mostly more with girls, but then I hear from other people with their boys that they're like, no, they're just as much drama. And I'm thinking, this is a lot of drama.
They have boys.
Oh. Yeah.
And we still have drama.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, so Becky, tell me about you.
Okay, so my son, Daniel Jr., is, he just turned 2. And he is so chill, such a great balance of me and my like very tightly wound type A OCD personality and my husband, who's incredibly relaxed and collected all the time.
That sounds like our household.
But it makes for a grab bag of interactions with this toddler who's figuring out exactly who he is and what he feels about things. For instance, just last night we had a beautiful dinner. We went into the city and had dinner and had ice cream after. And on the way home, it was just like a little switch flipped. And all of a sudden, I'm getting slapped in the face for I don't even know what at this time. But lots of drama and excitement. But then I call him the Sour Patch Kid because, you know, seconds later, it's, I love you, Mama.
Or when they freak out because you gave him a fork instead of a spoon.
Oh, yes.
And it just comes flying at you.
And then they go, your hair's so beautiful.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, my God. What's wrong with me? You know? You just don't know how to handle it.
Yeah.
It's crazy town. So then, Alicia, let's talk about your family.
Well, I have 2 boys. One is 2.5, same age with Eloise. They go to the same school together, which is great. We're excited for school to start in about a month. We understand now why
you're not counting down the seconds, are you?
I have my calendar. Xing it every day. And then I have a 4-month-old boy, too. And it's been a challenge trying to adjust to 2 boys. I was telling Jen on Monday, I was like, my 2.5 was trying to smother my 4-month-old. Shove cars in his mouth.
You're like, what is going on? So I actually want to speak directly to you, Alicia. I'm kind of struggling right now in terms of society, I'm advanced age for having kids. I'm 42. And so a lot of my friends, they're way past the stage I'm at. But no matter if you have multiples that are 5 years apart, 6 years apart, or a year apart, it's hard. But I definitely think when they're that close in age, so my youngest daughter is going to be 8 months, it's difficult. Mm-hmm. And it's not, I can kind of envision people saying, well, this is what you chose to do.
Right.
And down the line, I think that that's, first of all, that was really, it had to be done now if it wanted to be done.
Right.
Because of my, and I'm in air quotes, my advanced age. But I also like the closeness. But I think sometimes people who don't have kids that are close in age like that don't really understand how much of a struggle it is.
So it's funny you mentioned that. I was literally sitting on my couch yesterday after work around 5. And of course, my sitter left at 4 and they were perfect for the sitter. I mean, I could hear them. They were great. And right when the sitter left, I was just like, my 4-month-old starts screaming. My 2.5 decides to poop in his pants and pee on the carpet and smear poop all over the bathroom.
Oh, no.
Right at that moment at like 4 o'clock. And I'm just like, I don't understand it. And I was, and then I sat on my couch. I was like, who thought? I was like, I'm so mad at my husband. It was his idea to have kids like at this time, because you know, at this time period, and I was just like, I was so angry. And then I called him. I was like, where are you? You better get home. He's like, babe, it's only 5. Like, I'm on my way. And but it is hard because originally I wanted them to be 5 years apart because I thought my oldest could go to school and then I could have more time with the second one. And I'm sure, I'm not sure if you feel this, but I feel the guilt mm-hmm. that I had undivided attention with my first.
Yep.
And my second one is getting smashed in the morning, mm-hmm. slapped. And it's hard, you know? I mean, there's not a magic pill.
No.
I mean, it's...
And I find that, yeah, because you have the first and you are only dedicated to them. Mm-hmm. And then... you think, how, that's the biggest thing. How can I love another human being as much as I love the first? And you do. Mm-hmm. But now it's, oh my gosh, am I giving the oldest enough time or am I giving her too much time? But I'm not giving the youngest enough time and that's not fair to her. And mm-hmm. it is a mind game.
It
totally is.
Yeah.
So with all of you working together, it has to be like a support group. I mean, you have to come into work and tell the funny stories, but also be there for one another.
Yeah. I mean, it is. I couldn't do it without them. Like, same. No way.
Yeah.
It's like a therapy group, like a Monday.
It is. Well, yeah. Even if, like, our kids are sick.
Yeah.
I mean, usually if you work, like, a different corporate job, you're, like, taking your vacation, mm-hmm. probably. If Eloise is sick, I'll text and be like, hey, she's mm-hmm. throwing up everywhere. I got to stay home. I got to work from home. And they're like, we got your back. You know, it's amazing.
I mean, our motto, we said it's family first, because at the end of the day, I mean, work is important because, you know, we all need an income.
Right.
But at the same time, we understand that it's not everything. And there needs to be flexibility, especially in our line of work. It's like, you know, digital marketing, we have a joke that it's not brain surgery.
Right.
You know, it's not like we have to save someone's life and
right.
be there. So I think we all do a pretty good job of being proactive and just helping each other out.
And balance too, yeah. because knowing that, like, if I, you know, I can go to the doctor and they're like, when do you want to schedule a follow-up appointment? And it's like, mm-hmm. well, Tuesday, the 27th, whatever, work for you. And it's like, yeah, because I can make that happen because mm-hmm. I can go to the doctor during the day on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. But then Tuesday night, I can be, you know, on my computer at 7:30 after the baby goes to sleep and getting caught up with whatever I maybe missed. So, mm-hmm. I mean, all of the logistics has been super supportive as a new mom. I still feel like a new mom.
You are.
And I'm going to be playing that card for as long as I can.
Hey, I pulled the hormone card for as long as I possibly can, too. So,
I'm playing that card now.
And, totally.
Yeah, and also just the, you know, the emotional support that comes with people who are literally walking the same steps as you. And I mm-hmm. think that it shows in our work, too, because, you know, there's that, like, cliche saying that anyone who feels appreciated is going to go the extra mile. And because we all try to really let each other know, hey, I appreciate you stepping in and doing this, or, you know, me as an employee, like, they're always very supportive of me and let me know, like, hey, I appreciate you that you're putting in this time. And so I'm like, I don't mind whipping out my phone and taking care of this while I'm, you know, waiting and, you know, at the grocery store or whatever, because later on I can unplug and have that time again.
So. And that's the hard thing is for, and we're still not there, but this whole, you can't take off of work because your child's sick, or you felt guilty for doing that when your child's sick and they want you. Mm-hmm. Beyond just the, you know, mm-hmm. cuddling and being there. But if they're mm-hmm. truly, truly sick, where we are mm-hmm. doctor visits, and it sucks that there are so many corporations that say, your sick days are for you. They're not for your child. Mm-hmm. And what I was thinking when you were all talking, I had, and you guys are probably familiar with her boutique, Rachel Sauter, on not too long ago. She is the owner of Leopard Boutique.
Yeah.
And one of the things that she told me, and it was just, it made my mind go, oh, we need more people like you. She's a small business owner. She doesn't have a ton of full-time employees, mm-hmm. but her full-time employees, they're considered full-time if they work 30 hours mm-hmm. and they get insurance. And some people don't understand how big of a deal that is. That's mm-hmm. a huge deal. And I was thinking, man, you hear about, and this is going off kind of on the same subject, but all these different countries, especially with maternity leave and what they're allowing their employees. But just the mindset, if I know things are okay at home, I feel at peace, and I think I'm a better employee. And that's just when you guys were talking about it, like, hey, I know if I have to leave because my child's sick,
yeah,
or I have to cry in the bathroom because I'm just having a tough day, it's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, and you speaking about the, you know, other countries, you know, that'll give like a year of maternity leave.
Canada's like, a year.
Yeah, I know for sure.
Yeah. I was talking to my friend in Italy. She gets she's at 9 months.
Yeah.
And like half pay, I think, after 4 months. But yeah, I'm just like,
if I would have had a traditional job during like my first year, and it probably speaks for all of us, mm-hmm. like we probably all would have been canned.
Yeah.
Because I mean, just all the health things you go yeah. through. Yeah. I had some unexpected health stuff that popped up around like the 5 month postpartum mark that mm-hmm. I thought I was like home free, like, oh, I did this. This is great. I can see how people pop out a few more. And then, you know, blindsided me to where, yeah, if I would have had a limited amount of days off or mm-hmm. hours off or however you mark it, like, yeah, there probably would have had to be some uncomfortable conversations yeah. that I didn't have to have. Because
it's hard. And that is any company that doesn't believe in paid maternity leave, that's a whole nother episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I also think it, when, and I would like to do more research, but in the different countries, I can't remember who does it, but where they advocate for, let's say, 8 weeks of maternity leave, and then you come back when the child's about 6 months, because that's another growing part mm-hmm. of that child, and then you spend another 8 weeks
oh, wow.
there, which I think makes sense developmentally, you know,
yeah.
there's, but again, that's a whole nother thing. So digital marketing, digital worlds, and a lot of these episodes, I have talked to women about social media. I see the benefits of social media. I would be lying if I didn't say social media isn't helping with this podcast, but my gosh, mm-hmm. it's also a problem.
It's hard. I mean, especially yeah. in our industry, you know, they know I would text, you know, especially in our position, like, you know, I'm always on Instagram trying to find for influencers for the business. And it's hard when you see moms, and I would text them and I'm like, oh my God, her life is so perfect. She is so skinny. I'm trying yeah. to still figure out this mom pooch. And she lives a fabulous life, and like a house looks so cute, and she stays home. How does what health insurance is she on? How do they afford it?
Yeah. Like, we're crazy. Just, like,
yeah. I mean, I get sucked into like one of them, the Bucket List family. Have you ever heard of them?
No.
I mean, I'm obsessed with them. And they're a couple, young couple with 3 kids under 5. and they travel the world. And every day they're in like a different place. It's they're, and I'm like, that's fantasy world. You know what I mean? Like, that's a fantasy land. And then also on another note, I do get a little leery about like posting my daughter, or, you know what I mean? Sometimes I'll go to town and be like, oh my gosh, I have to post this so people can see. It's so cute. But then I stop and think, and like, these are my private moments with her.
Working in this business, you feel the same as people like me who, I mean, I guess I would say I'm a little bit in it because of my job, but you feel the same? You do the same things?
I think it's like 10 times sometimes. Like,
I think we're because we're so dated too.
Yeah.
Like, it's so funny because we know how curated these moments are that you see when you're scrolling through your feed. There is so much work that goes into these photos that look effortless. And so there's times that we're just like, that's total BS. That is not what they had for lunch. That is not that is not how this day went for these people. But this is how this created. So you have this constant, and that's the industry we're in, right, is helping sell these ideas of perfection. And and so, I mean, that's a whole nother podcast in and of itself. But yeah, we, because of what we do, we are connected more than probably the average person. Mm-hmm. And so, and we see the back end of it, but we still are guilty of saying, oh my gosh, how did she have time? Yeah. How did she have time to make this whole extra playroom just look amazing?
Uh-huh.
And how much money did that cost?
How do they have eight kids and
and the perfect live and lipstick on?
How is she dressed?
How is she dressed? But I think that goes back to the women group. Like, you know, we would do that. You know, we get into this, like, you know, I mean, only these two women knows my inner voice. And we get into this, like, my inner, like, Alicia, stop. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not real. Yeah. Or, you know, you're doing just fine. And then you're like, okay, oh my God. You're like,
yeah,
you get lost.
And
that is a part of that emotional support we get, because we'll get like a text or send a text out like, oh, did you see this? And Jen will be like, ah, that lady probably, you know, probably just as miserable as the rest of us. She's, you know, it's all smoke and mirrors here. So it's nice to keep each other in check.
And I do appreciate when people post the real stuff.
Yeah.
And I want to do that too. I just need to get there.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
It's a very vulnerable thing too.
I think because, you know, moms are judgy. You know, other moms, you know, you have the hippie mom, you have the mom, the perfect mom. And, you know, what Jen said, you know, after I had my kid, I made my Instagram private because I was worried about weird people looking at, you know, my son, or figuring out where. I don't think it's, you know, it's not like we're Meghan Markle, but figuring out where my kid is. But you never know. They're crazy people out there. But I do post a lot. Like, I think, like, my stories, you know, I had, like, laundry, like, all over.
But here's the other thing. Again, on multiple of these episodes for this podcast, we're talking about the exact same thing. We're talking about judging.
Mm-hmm.
Where do we break the cycle? Yeah. How do we say enough is enough?
Yeah, because you do get fearful. Like, I'll be honest. I mean, I never post about this and I never talk about this. You know, my daughter's adopted and she was born addicted to heroin. I'm in the hospital every month. Like, not every month, but an average. I never post that. I never post how exhausting it is, how I just... That's something I keep kind of private, and I don't. And then I don't know. I just.
Are you worried? Here's exactly. I had no idea. I knew she was adopted, and I was hoping that we could talk about that in another episode.
Yeah.
Are you worried that someone is judging you for? I don't want to say for her being addicted to heroin, because why would somebody judge you for that? But is it
like thinking, what do you want us to say? What do you want? Like, you know, why are you telling? Like, just.
And like, when you said it, I immediately in my mind was like, oh my gosh, I would like her to come on an episode to talk about this, because your story is somebody else's story that they're living through and they need help.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm in Facebook groups with moms with, you know.
Yeah.
And that's the other positive of the social media, you know, social media and the connectivity of this generation.
That's a positive part.
We've all individually had some pretty like earth-shattering instances as mothers that we were able to go beyond our immediate circle, beyond doctors and sterile exam rooms, and find other moms like us online that have had stories that, like, literally, I mean, no therapist and a pencil and pad of papers are going to be able to help you solve.
So I'm in Facebook groups, like, with parents that have, or moms that have adopted, or moms that have adopted children with, you know.
We haven't talked about this at all, about the positive, I mean, the positive stuff, but stuff like this.
You know, I mean, this motherhood is, I mean, as much as we have a support group, it's very isolating.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, especially when postpartum, like, even the first week or two, I was like going crazy. Just be, you know, the mechanics of, like, waking up, changing diapers and tending to a, you know, so there'll be me at 2 a.m. scrolling through Instagram, feeling like I'm alive a little bit and connected to the world. And then I became friends with this mom from Atlanta, and we talk, and her daughter was born a day before my son. I mean, I have no idea who this lady is, but we're friends now.
I didn't even think about the private Facebook groups that are available. I mean, it's like, duh, yes, those are so super helpful. Well, let's shift gears a little bit here and talk about your kids and social media. You all three, as we have learned, are in digital marketing. And when it comes time for your kids and social media and the world of digital, what do you say to them?
Oh, it's hard. Yeah. I mean, my son takes my phone now and says, Mama, look, I'm working. And I'm like, oh, no.
I see moms and dads that have already, like, made Facebook accounts for their kids and, like, they're actively tagging their kids. And I see these, you know, Pinterest hacks that are like, make an email address for your kid and email them all these memories.
That,
and this, and even as a professional, like, I'm really divided about that, because actually the other, I have this hilarious picture of my kid, his little bare wrinkly, not wrinkly, dimply bottom, watering some basil. And I pulled it up and I was going to post it on, like, an Instagram story or something. And then I thought, man, when he's 13 or however old, is he going to be like, Mom, why the hell were you sharing pictures of my butt all over the meat? You know, so I texted it to them instead, of course. But, you know, like, I've heard, like, how are these kids going to feel knowing pretty much every moment of their childhood was kind of shared with the masses, even if the masses are just your grandma and your aunt in another state, or, you know.
Didn't even think about that.
Yeah,
I didn't. Well, and when you were talking about the butt, I was immediately thinking of Pink. I'm sure you, how people gave her so much trouble.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what I thought you were going to go to, or the negative comments and the this and that. I wasn't even thinking about our kids.
Their opinion on their butt being out there in the world.
Yeah. I mean, just like even like, I mean, I know a couple of times, like, oh my God, like, they're both in the shower together. You know, my kids, you know, giving the bath together, and I'd snap a photo and I was like, oh, I wanted to post this and great grandma could see. But then I was just like, you know, it's like, I don't know how, where is this living and what server, you know? I just texted personally. And that's the thing too. I feel like as a professional in social media, I mean, this is my personal opinion, that I just don't think everyone needs to know everything. And there's certain moments and certain photos I would just text it to them.
The balance of the real. Like, you know, going through, like, postpartum OCD and anxiety stuff, like, I wrote a few kind of essay type things and shared them because I was like, I know how helpful it was to have that as a resource reading it when I was going through the thick of it. But then it's also like, you know, I'm not going to post about this every day. Like, oh, the dog pooped in my living room, or, oh, this happened today. Like, there are sometimes, like Jen said, just the fear of people that are just always, it seems like, fishing for sympathy or fishing for.
Yeah, because there's a lot of people on there, like, I won't say any names, but there's some influencers on there that are, like, always.
They're banking on that, I feel.
Yeah,
like,
it's that, like,
that vulnerability.
And it's depressing. Every post is about, you know, depressing stuff. And it's like,
I think there is a balance of realness, like, and then there's a balance of just being empowering, because, you know, it's cool that, I mean, things happen, but I think, you know, we want to see the big picture is how can we empower each other and rise above the occasion.
Okay. And, so tell me, how do you, ladies?
It's hard. I mean, there are moments that, I mean, there are times where it's just like, you know, anything that's very personal, you know, oh my God, I had, like, a complete meltdown in a parking lot after I worked out, crying, and just like, I just didn't know how to deal with work. My baby was 3 months at that time, and my crazy 2.5-year-old and rising costs and, you know, and all that stuff. And I think it's okay to have those moments privately and then tap into the two closest or whoever, you know, and tell them how you feel, and then realize that, you know, that's, it's okay to feel that way, and then have your moment, and then pick back up and went back home, cooked dinner, you know, mm-hmm. prep everything for the next day, got to work, and yeah.
Yeah, letting go of the idea of perfectionism that is, like, even people that don't realize it cast their judgments on you constantly. I was not prepared as a mom for all of the unsolicited opinions and advice that just come at you from every angle. And so I do think at some point you just get better at, like, just letting it be
mm-hmm.
water off a duck's butt.
Like your mom. Kind
of shake it off. Yeah, mom.
Water off of a duck's butt. I like that.
Just, you know, it gets a lot. Maybe, you know, it doesn't get easier, but you get better.
I
think that that's something that I try to, when you hear, and you, we're probably closer to this, Alicia, about, are they crawling yet?
Mm-hmm.
Are they this yet? It's like,
mm-hmm.
if they are, they are. If they aren't, they aren't. Like, what? Does, and I know that those are, some of them are just conversational pieces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But some of it sometimes feels like,
judge.
Ooh, yes.
You know what's funny? Mm-hmm. I saw the perfect Facebook, back to social media.
Yeah.
it is a necessary evil, right?
Right. You know, I grew up in an environment where my mom had me everything from ballet twice a day to art classes to piano to violin to,
yep.
I mean, everything. My days were from 6:30 to 10 o'clock at night every day.
Oh.
I mean, it was regimented. It was, I mean, you got to be the best, like, you know, and doing that. And, you know, if your math is not good, we're going to take you to extra classes and make sure your math is at 100%. You know, there's no 98.1. It's, you know, 100%.
Wow.
And then I realized that I found myself guilt. Like, you know, I was texting. I was like, oh, he needs to be in tennis. He needs to be in soccer. I was like, he has no classes at all. And then I thought, and I saw that Facebook group, and I was just like, that thing will come. You know, he's going to get to school. What I want is, the biggest thing for me raising my kids is, I want to teach them how to cope in life. And if they can learn how to cope in life, they can do whatever they want and they can be the best version of themselves. And that's what I want to teach them, to be kind, to love, and to cope and all of that. And if I can be there as a mom to help them through that, that's all I want. I mean, my husband and I talk about it all the time, being so present for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, so they can be happy and they can laugh and they can,
right.
you know, come to us. And
we talk about that a lot in the office about being present.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, let's be present here at work, but when we're at home, where it's home with the family, let's,
because
that's hard nowadays with social media being totally present.
Yeah, it is.
Or and having your email right in your hand at any moment, you know? Like,
and then, because Eloise already, like, if I leave my phone upstairs in the bedroom and I'm walking out the door, you know, she's like, Mommy, don't forget your phone. And that breaks my heart.
Mm-hmm. Lou said that to me one day. She said, and we try, again, not great, but put it away for dinner time. But one time there was something with work and I was getting texts and she said, Mama, put the phone down. And I'm like,
And when you're 2.5-year-old saying that, it's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
It's tough work.
It's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough being a mom. But
you know, I love being a mom because I felt more. I was talking to another mom who has twin boys and they're about 10 months. And, you know, we're both entrepreneurs. And, you know, for when we were, before we had kids, you know, it's work, as much money as we can make. But being a mom kind of helps you. It's crazy because it's so fast, but it makes you slow down.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I felt more introspective and my priorities shifted. And
I feel more useful. I don't know if that's the right word.
Totally.
Like more of a purpose.
Yeah.
Totally more of a purpose. Yep.
And I never wanted kids, and that's what's crazy.
That's how I am, too. I never really wanted kids. And
yeah.
That's how I was till about 39, 40.
Yeah. Oh, ladies. I think you could probably come back for a few more episodes.
Yeah, I feel like we barely brushed the surface.
I know.
We have so much material.
Oh, well, put it on your to-do list. And you can always come in with breast milk and unbrushed hair and unbrushed teeth and stains on your clothes. No judging here. Thank you, awesome. Ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining me for today's episode. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and if you're feeling really generous, write me a review. And don't forget to join me next week for a new episode of Two Kids and a Career.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.